I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, it's a new year, a new decade, and time for a new census. Government officials are making a big push to get everyone to participate. So we'll ask why one group is feeling left out. Arab Americans. That conversation is a bit later. But first, we return to the subject of that failed Christmas Day bombing attempt of Northwest Airlines Flight 253. It turns out that a group based in Yemen, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, has claimed and is believed responsible for organizing the bombing attempt. And that has put a spotlight on the Middle Eastern nation of Yemen, where the group is based. It's also put a spotlight on the Yemeni nationals who continue to be held at Guantanamo Bay, which the administration has pledged to close. Almost half the remaining population there is from Yemen, and a number of these men were already scheduled for release. But now members of Congress, members of both political parties, are saying that that should not happen. Here's Republican Congressman Peter Hoekstra, who represents Michigan, on Fox News Sunday.
They should stay there. They should not go back to Yemen. If they go back to Yemen, we will very soon find them back on the battlefield going after Americans and other Western interests.
His comments were echoed by California Senator Dianne Feinstein, a Democrat and the senior Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee. She said Yemen is too, quote, unstable. We wanted an additional perspective, so we called attorney David Reams. He represents 15 Yemeni detainees currently imprisoned at Guantanamo. He's the legal director for the nonprofit Appeal for Justice. He's here with me in the Washington, D.C. studio. Welcome. Happy New Year to you. First of all, why are there so many Yemeni nationals being held at Guantanamo Bay, and how many are there? Some accounts say 80, some say 89. What do you know?
Well, there are 89, Michelle. Why there are so many is that the U.S. for years has been unable to reach an agreement with the government of Yemen for the return. In the case of Saudi Arabia, for example, 94% of the Saudis who were at Guantanamo have gone home, 92% of the Pakistanis, 90% of the Afghans. Yemen has been the problem.
And what is the problem?
The problem has been, I think the U.S. has been imposing conditions on the government of Yemen that Yemen was unprepared to accept, and Yemen was probably imposing conditions on the U.S. But now that President Obama has come into office, his government is undertaking a very careful man-by-man review so that nobody gets sent back who's a danger to the U.S., and courts are ruling in favor of the detainees as well, holding that the U.S. has no basis for holding them and never did.
Well, last month before the attempted attack, the U.S. Department of Justice transferred six detainees back to Yemen, and two, as I understand it, were clients of yours. Can you just tell us who were these men? Why were they detained to begin with, and why was it deemed appropriate that they be released?
Well, my first client, Jamal Al-Mari from Damar, was seized in his bed in the middle of the night in Karachi. He was a charity worker. He was collecting medicine and other charity materials for another charity, which in turn provided the charity to Afghans. That middle charity was determined to be an Al-Qaeda organization, and therefore on the basis of his association with the first charity and its association with the second charity and the second charity's association, according to the U.S., with terrorists in Afghanistan, he's been held for 8 years. The other client, Farouk Ali Ahmed from Taiz, went to Afghanistan to teach the Quran. His story was corroborated by many Guantanamo detainees and only contradicted by Guantanamo detainees who have been proven to be not credible.
Now, according to the Washington Post report last week, two former Guantanamo detainees who were released 2 years ago under the previous administration, that of George W. Bush, have actually rejoined an Al-Qaeda cell. Now, I understand that at least one of those was a Saudi national, or two of those, both were Saudi nationals, but that there was one person who was subsequently killed who was a Yemeni national who was also detained at Guantanamo, who then was believed to have rejoined an Al-Qaeda group. Doesn't that raise a red flag?
Well, I'd say a couple of things about that, Michelle. The first two, the Saudis that you mentioned, are Saudis, not Yemenis, and they were released under a program followed by President Bush that was more diplomatic in nature than anything else. The reason that 94% of the Saudis have been returned to Saudi Arabia is not because there was a careful man-by-man, individual-by-individual review. It's because Saudi Arabia is a big ally of the United States. The United States depends on Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia depends on the U.S. Two men out of nearly 600 men released so far. As for the Yemeni, all we have to go on is the government's claim, the Yemen government's claim, that this individual was in a group of other al-Qaeda people. I don't think the Yemen government is a credible source. They're fighting wars north and south. They routinely label their opponents al-Qaeda. And until we have more substantiation and corroboration, I just don't buy it.
How is that corroboration to be done?
It's very difficult because the Yemen government doesn't allow reporters in the north or in the south. It's very difficult, as I say. I just would take anything that the Yemen government says with a grain of salt.
But to your point that only two out of 600 people have returned to or undertaken terrorist activity, I mean, it is commonly said, it's become a cliche that, you know, that the terrorists, you know, we need to be right all the time. The terrorists only need to be right once. I mean, isn't two out of 600 too many? I mean, why isn't it reasonable for people to say that given the absence of transparency and accountability on the part of the Yemeni government to really addressing who is who, to any real process for determining who is who, that it's just a risk that Americans don't need to take?
Well, as I said, Michelle, you have this very thorough, careful review by the administration through a process that involves the Attorney General, the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of Homeland Security, the Director of National Intelligence, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. These are man-by-man determinations that these individuals are not dangerous to the United States. And in the case of court decisions, which have gone for the detainees 32 out of 41 cases, here you have federal judges holding that these men were not detainable by the United States. I don't know what more you could want. You can't force anybody to prove a negative that they won't do this or they won't do that. And in the case of these particular men, both the government and the courts have held that there's no reason to hold them and that they don't present a danger.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with David Reams. He's a human rights lawyer who represents, is it currently 15?
It's currently 15 Yemenis.
15 Yemenis who are currently being held at Guantanamo Bay. Can you tell us, just tell us a little bit about the men who are currently there, the 15 clients that you currently have? Just tell us some of their stories. And are they all currently slated for release?
Some of them have been approved for transfer by the task force that President Obama set up. One of them has been exonerated by a federal court who ruled that the U.S. never had a basis for detaining them. This judge looked at the government's evidence and found it completely wanting in any kind of credibility or competence. We have one client whose name is Hussein Al-Murfedi, who was actually trying to emigrate to Europe to get greater human rights. He was picked up in Tehran. We have another client, Abdulsalam Al-Hila, who was a Yemeni, a very prominent Yemeni businessman, who was lured to Cairo and picked up in Cairo. We have other clients who went to Afghanistan to teach the Quran and provide charity to the people of Afghanistan. I think something Americans don't realize quite enough is that Muslims are very motivated to help fellow Muslims in other countries in need. The Catholic Church has 60,000 missionaries all over the world. The Mormon Church, it's a duty to go and be a missionary. I think the same is true in the Muslim world, and Afghanistan was in pretty dire straits at the end of the 1990s and the beginning of the 2000s.
And so is it your view, and I assume that you have personally met each of these clients. Have you done that?
I've been to Guantanamo about three dozen times, and I've met each client many, many times. I've gotten to know them. I've gotten to know their families. I've been to Yemen seven times. I feel that I have a pretty good sense of them. And by the way, if you'll let me continue for a second, the lawyers like me, the habeas lawyers, are the only private citizens who have been with these men, who have seen them and gotten to know them. You have the representatives of the International Committee of the Red Cross, but they're barred from speaking publicly, and they don't have a relationship with the individuals. Otherwise, we're talking about the military or the intelligence people. We're the only ones who actually know these men. They do not at all fit the caricature as the worst of the worst that constantly is perpetuated. The Obama task force, according to Secretary Gates, has approved for transfer 116 of these detainees. These are men that the U.S. does not think presents a danger. They should not be hostage to the politics of the moment.
And are you concerned that they will be?
they might. It's obvious that politicians are jumping on this bandwagon to keep them imprisoned. And if you keep them imprisoned, moreover, you can't close Guantanamo. The Yemenis consist of 44% of the Guantanamo population.
And finally, and we only have about a minute and a half left, and this may be Kafkaesque, given that you suggest that many of these people should never have been held at Guantanamo to begin with, that they were victims of, I don't know, mistaken identity, if you will, or misunderstandings about their intentions or their own ignorance about what they were doing or associations that over which they had no control. So I credit your point on that. But how do you react to the concern that some have that their experience at Guantanamo may have now radicalized them and that therefore they would then become dangerous if they had not? And I understand how that would sound to a legal representative, but it is a question that some would have, I'd ask you.
Well, as I say, I've been with each of these men many times over the past 5 years. I don't think that those concerns are well-founded at all, and I think that the people who express the concerns don't know these men. The men were not captured on the battlefield. The U.S. did not capture 95% of the men who were seized. Most of my clients were seized in Pakistan, and they were seized and they were put in Guantanamo without any kind of serious vetting process. And that's why they're there, and that's why they should be released.
David Reams is legal director for the nonprofit group Appeal for Justice. He represents 15 Yemeni detainees currently imprisoned at Guantanamo Bay. He was kind enough to join us from our Washington, D.C. studios. I thank you so much for speaking with us, and Happy New Year to you.